Blog Talk Radio.
A waiver of the taxes on automotive diesel fuel or application of the concessionary rate of $4.56 per litre. Normal rate, $44.90 per litre. The letters show that the ministry consented to the concessionary rate.
So the communication that we have before us, the Jamaica Public Service Company wrote to the finance minister on July 1. New Fortress Energy, NFE, supplies of natural gas from LNG, advised that you
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008. Because my divorce was in 2005, and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died, and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed, and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I've signed and I've stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see $600,000
deducted.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that...
I ended up owing $22 million.
Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. I said, "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every tax check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it." So he said, "Man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What are we going to do?" So he said, "Hold on, man. Let me get some lawyers." So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, "Man, we got a major problem." He said, "I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year." We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, "Man, well, this is an old tax return." He said, "Man, we got a problem." He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was, if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was, my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, "Nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses." And I heard a guy on the phone say, "What are we going to do when he goes to jail?" And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, "Marjorie Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem." When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, "Steve, what you gonna do?" I said, "I'm gonna go to work." I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out to Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming. Sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. Mm. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up, because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling, because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven, the radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money, major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 0.035% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisoners in the United States are black people. You know, even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. And that's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? March has never changed anything.
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I want to know what's in the door. He said, you sure you want to see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on pity way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So, if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now.
Yes.
And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But, man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer at the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Hear ye! Hear ye! The court's in session. The court's in session. Now here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Here come the judge!
Okay. Overslept this. Well, no, no. I stayed up practically all night, which is a habit of mine. It appears I got like weird sleep patterns. I don't sleep 8 hours straight. I sleep in spurts, like 2 hours here, hour here, 3 hours there. But for some reason, I can't sleep 8 straight hours. And I get up early, super early, and then anyway. So that's what we. Now I came on late today. Anyway. So today's podcast is times. I have a house in our blog talk thing. Times so many houses. What would that equal dollar amount wise? I had to work on that equation. But this is an arithmetic equation. Build and sell every day. All right, here's where I got this idea from. I have an app on my phone. It's a learning language app called Duolingo, where they have various languages that you're interested in learning. So I developed a habit, for each day, I got like Spanish, German, Hindi, Swahili.
Black on black crime. You can find it in almost any major city like Chicago, New York, or LA. But Chattanooga is nowhere near the size, nor has the population of those cities. Yet violent crimes by African Americans against each other in Chattanooga, it's just as bad. In part one of his special report, Eric Aubenier takes a deep look into black-on-black crime and its effect on the African American community. He joins us live in the studio to explain. Eric.
Well, as journalists, it's our job to report what's happening in our community. And unfortunately, we find ourselves covering black-on-black violence almost every other day. Now, before we begin, you need to know that in this report we're about to show you, it is very raw and emotional with language that some viewers...
Okay, I got kicked off. Now I'm back. So, in order to tackle that debt of 175, just follow me. I brought up eight things that a person must do. Find something that you can build on a daily basis. Find something you can build or make on a daily basis. And also, whatever you're going to build or make, be it a tiny house, a dog house, or apple pie, or chocolate cake, you want to sell one of those a day as well. All right. Now, third start, well, I already said it. Now, if you can get a network of 10 up, they're all doing the same thing. Let's say quilts. You make quilts, make one, you sell one a day. Of course, this is illustration purposes. Can you get a network of 10 other people or 9 other people to do the same thing? Make and sell one, and you get a part of it earned. All right, now, the figure that I'm going to put out here is $5,000. Now, just like when I played a tiny house, the solar cabin thing with Lamar Alexander, he built the cabin. The cabin is $1,000. With the solar, that's $5,000. So let's say he built or you built a cabin. Oh, I see what happened. Okay, let's say you built the cabin you built it out of pocket for $5,000, and you sold it for $10,000, so you made a $5,000 profit. So imagine if you did that for, well, I'm going to use my figure based on Duolingo, because I'm up to 847 days of practicing some type of foreign language on a daily basis. So let's take 5,000 times 847 days. Me, you, or the lady with 847 days, excuse me, the lady with the $175,000 tax bill would have made $4,235,000 just by consistently building and selling something for $5,000 where they could have made a $5,000 profit. This is what I'm going to do to basically wipe out my mother's estate. Now, if you got any type of estate thing, you find something to sell, make and sell, build and sell, or make and sell. Let's go with something that you can make a $50 profit off of, whatever that might be. 50 times 847. Or if you make something that you can sell it and make a $50 profit, if you did that for 847 consecutive days, you would have generated $42,350. All right. And that takes a little dent, that puts a little chunk out of $175,000. So in any event, do that. Now, there is a book I'm going to recommend. Let me go to my phone here. I'm going to recommend this book. I have the Kindle version. Because you're going to need a paradigm shift here in order to tackle these big problems. This book is titled, The book is titled, Time Really Is Money. How to Work for $5,000 per Hour. That's the title of the book. How to Work for $5,000 per Hour. The book is written by a guy named Tom Slee. That's S-L-E-E. Rob Slee, R-O-B. Rob Slee, S-L-E-E, Rob Slee. The book is titled How to Work for $5,000 per Hour. And the subtitle is Time Really Is Money. Okay. In the book, it breaks it down, $50 per hour thinking. It goes up a rung. It breaks down $500 per hour thinking, and then it breaks down how you need to think to earn $5,000 per hour. I have this book on my phone. I recommend you go to Kindle, and you can probably download. I went on and bought the book, but you can get a sample copy of it on Amazon for free. But I recommend, do what you want to do. Download the sample copy. Then if you like what you read, but they break it down. $50 per hour, $500 per hour, and $5,000 per hour. It outlines how you need to think and some things you need to do to accomplish that. All right. Now, let's take a course of a year. Let's go back, and I'm coming to 773 real quick. Well, we don't have any tech issues right now. You got 365 days in a year. All right, so 5,000. Well, you know what? Let's go with the. I'm going with. Let's say you earn. You do something where you can earn $500 in a day. But this book talks about how you can do this. By the hour. Now let's stick to the book. $500 an hour. What kind of activities do you need to do so you can net $500 an hour? So let's do that for 365 days. If you have an activity on which you can earn $500 within an hour, if you do that every day for 365 days, you'll earn $182,500. I'm going to add a couple of things onto this. Think bigger by the hour, and then think when you're selling something, sell it at a retail price. When I say retail price, just think about it this way. If you're going to McDonald's, let me reverse that. If you try to buy the typical house in the United States, you're going to have to get a mortgage. You're going to have to get a loan. You know, the bank might require you to put 20% down, and then you got to apply for a loan. You got to get financing. The typical brand new car you get in the United States, you typically have to get financing, put something down, and then GMAC, Ford Motor Corporation, they'll finance the balance of it. Because that's the average consumer in America doesn't have $20,000 to finance a car out of pocket. The average consumer doesn't have $100,000 or even $50,000 to finance to buy a house. All right? The average consumer. However, we're going to McDonald's, burger, it's priced where anybody can buy. Even with the higher prices now with inflation, where a Big Mac costs about $5 now, whatever. But, you know, the average consumer, they've got $5. You know, a lot of, I've got friends, I'm sure you got friends too, you might even buy them. You know, I got a friend, when he buys a car, he doesn't buy anything brand new, his budget is $2,000. $2,000, he drives it off the lot. Other people, their budget might be $4,000. $4,000, they buy it off the lot because they don't want to have deal with car payments. They got to deal with the insurance part of it, but they don't want to deal with a car note. Lamar Alexander built a cabin for $2,000. No mortgage payment. To electrify, let's just say $5,000 because he put solar on. $5,000, no mortgage payment. And no insurance payment. He just has to pay those yearly taxes on the land. That's it. You know, so think retail. What could you make or sell? It doesn't have to be a big ticket item like a house or a cabin. You know, but what could you, you know, the Amish do it. You know, built out of their pricing, built at retail prices. Something where you don't have to go get an FHA, you don't need to go to the government for help. Something where you don't have to go to a bank or a finance company to get it financed. Cash and carry. We'll go more into details on this tomorrow. Start a family school to do this too. But we'll go more into detail of this tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We're up to 8 podcasts a day, different topics. We're working on, by the end of this month, 10. Tomorrow we'll have 9, with a possibility of 10 by Friday, but tomorrow 9. Today we're still on 8. And tomorrow I think we're going to go more into depth into this book by Rob Slee, How to Earn. As a matter of fact, that's tomorrow morning. This podcast segment, we're going into $5,000 per hour thinking. That's tomorrow's podcast. We might be, tomorrow's Wednesday. Because today's Tuesday, right? Yeah, today's Tuesday, yeah. So Wednesday, Thursday, with the outside possibility of Friday, but definitely tomorrow and Thursday, $5,000 per hour thinking. And how to make it into a habit. So anyway, definitely tune in tomorrow and Thursday. Okay, let's go to 773. Your mic is open.
Buenos días, mi amigo. ¿Cómo estás?
Sorry about the technical difficulties yesterday. I know you were hanging in there, but I couldn't get through.
Buenos días.
Can you hear me? Buenos días. Buenos días,
yes.
Maestro.
Yes. Gracias. So I do realize that Tuesdays and Thursdays generally are my best days for the to focus, because I'm going to let the students tune in, because I want to go by the people that are working there. I want to go by their lunch break schedule. You know, everybody won't make it. Per se. And I was having some technical difficulties. I was trying to text you, but my WhatsApp, I think I just got a lot of apps. I've been deleting a couple of apps that I'm not using, just unused apps. So my storage is, I guess.
I've got to get more space on this phone. And I need about 2 or 3 phones. So. Because it's the apps I have on my phone. If I try to add, like somebody wanted me to add, and I'm not a big Skype fan, because Skype, man, this calls drop on that for me. But some people you need it. So I couldn't decide what can I drop, what app could I drop on this phone and then put it up by Skype. I mean, put add Skype on. Then to add Skype on, my phone was recommending I drop 2 or 3 apps, and the 3 that it was recommending I need. So some kind of way I got to, I don't know, there's got to be a way to add on more space to this phone.
And I would like to thank you for joining the business Zoom. I've heard what you I was listening in on what you were sharing, the book that you're reading. The name of the book, that's exciting, because my sons and I have begun to consider, better use of the time. You can make the most, how can you make the most money for your time? So
right.
All my sons are considering leaving their 9-to-5 and going back to doing Uber. They collaborated really well using one car. They took breaks and took turns. One person would have the first part of the day. The other person would have the second part of the day. And it was pretty decent, pretty decent.
That's a good strategy, because cars don't get tired. People do. So, yeah, that's a good strategy. I had an Uber driver once. A woman picked me up. He would work the mornings, like this time of day, up until about this time of day. And then her husband would take over from like lunchtime. So that's the way they went. That's an idea.
is teamwork. That comes to great teamwork.
Oh, you know what? Let me recommend this. Let me recommend this for your son, too. I got a friend of mine. Well, not a friend. I know him. A college buddy of mine knows him well. I met him with this dude once. Back a few years ago. Anyway, he does airport runs with, he signed up with Uber and Lyft, and
yeah.
He makes a full-time living from 3 a.m. to about like 7 a.m. in the morning. His niche are airport runs. That's what he does, airport runs between 3 and 7 in the morning, maybe 3 to 8 at the most a.m., just airport runs. And he makes a full-time
yeah.
living from that.
Yeah, and plus the tips you get is considered, you know.
Right.
Yeah. I do have one of my musician friends. He does
this,
airport runs, too.
This is another tip. Because I used to, before Uber and Lyft, I used to hack up in Baltimore, Maryland. Because I mean, it's only an hour away from D.C. With the Uber and Lyft drivers, I would have a card and then pass it out to all the passengers so if they ever need a lift, like for particularly their locals, doctor appointments, grocery shopping and all that, they call you directly so you get paid directly and you don't have to go through the Uber and Lyft app to get paid. So you'll actually earn more money. And you'll get regular customers that way too.
Yeah, one of my my drive. We just took to there. You know, actually, Uber and Lyft. Once again, these are some businesses that have mimicked. You know, your yellow taxi and checker cab and all that. But they are livery, black owned. They're called livery services. And
right.
There are a few black on. I just found out that we just took a ride, a livery. I don't even remember where we were going, but my son and I took a livery, and the guy gave us his card. Now, back in the day, we would have our regular driver's numbers. Keep in mind, the insurance that's covered with the company, you know, it covers, so they do question whether you are going to use your insurance. Are you going to, if you're going to be driving, when you get insurance, there's a question that there's a certain type of insurance I'm sure they would have to get, but probably more costly. But regular insurance for general purposes, the companies ask, will you be using your vehicle to transport individuals, and sometimes they do ask. Yeah, so, but, you know, back in the day, you know, they're watching everything now, and so it was just a matter of just considering what type of insurance to get as well to cover.
Yeah, when I was doing it, now this is probably about, when was I doing it? Yeah. This is before Uber and Lyft was out there. If you knew when to drive, like particularly if you drive like the first week of the month, man, sometimes I started at 7 o'clock in the morning, and by lunchtime I've made $300. I'm done for
well,
the
remember,
day.
Well, remember we had the grocery livery, remember? Jewels,
the major
stores. They would have the mostly be like older guys, retired. Individuals, you know, mostly men, who would actually be delivering people home with their groceries. All the person needed to do, catch the bus or just get there, and then they get a ride back with their groceries. So that was pretty interesting, too. I just thought about that. And then we had a station wagon. This one guy had a station wagon. He was one of our favorite drivers. I do remember that. I didn't think about that until you said, like, the regular runs. I have a young lady here in Chicago who does Sugar Mama. She does transportation. She does the before and after school, and then in between time, she does the regular runs. I'm trying to see if I see her card. But, yeah, she's a young lady who went to grammar school with my son. and she's doing her thing. Sugar Mama Transportation. That was pretty
well,
cool.
We won't forget that name. That won't forget that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you get a few regular customers, you're pretty much set. But like I said, tomorrow and Thursday we'll do a book review, and I'll tell you what I'm doing is the book, how to, you know, $5,000 per hour. So anything you can use your imagination with. But I hire, like I say, if you go to Kindle or Amazon, which is one and the same almost, I believe you can download a free chapter or two. Well, I went on and bought the book. So I have it on my
phone. Kindle is owned by Amazon.
What's that?
Kindle is owned by Amazon.
Okay, well, put that and put in.
Yeah, I believe it is, yeah.
And then, like, see, within the book, it starts, you know, the type of thinking or maybe activities for $50 an hour. Then it goes up to $500 per hour. Then it goes up to $5,000. Actually, it goes beyond $5,000. But the main focus is $5,000 per hour. And with these inflationary times, and this is global, man, because people are taking a spank in everywhere. What's that?
The title of the book is how to make $5,000 an hour?
How to Work for $5,000 per Hour.
Okay.
By Rob Slee, S-L-E-E. I mean, yeah, E-E, Slee.
That is awesome to share that knowledge too. Yeah. And it is a mindset.
Yeah, it's a mindset. It is a mindset. So, and you think about it, you know, that the person, I don't know what the minimum wage is, and I don't know, and that depends on the state, because it's different from state to state. There really isn't, and it depends on the industry as well. But the person that's, on a fry machine at McDonald's, you know, they're making a certain amount of money. But you know what? Some people are just locked in to a certain, you know, amount of money per hour, and that's where they're at mentally. So, you know, sometimes you just got to wrap your head around stuff or be forced into thinking bigger.
I agree.
So, you know, anyway, but that's where we'll go in tomorrow. Anyway, so what's happening up in Chicago/Milwaukee?
Well, I did just get one of my clients. He's enrolling his daughter, but he's a consulting client for his not-for-profit, Brother Jordan. And he's actually on his Zoom call now. But he is promoting an event called Harlem Nights in Chicago. It's going to be October 19th. So he just asked me to share that information with the people. Yeah. It's going to be October 19th. Actually, the ticket donation, they're doing a fundraiser for his lodge. I'm trying to remember the name of his lodge. I do apologize. So I will get that and we'll have that. It's going to be October 19th, so they have some good time. It's a fundraiser. And Harlem Nights in Chicago, so that's coming up October 19th. Tickets are $40. Brother Jordan, here it is. Actually, it's just, Harlem Nights in Chi-Town, separate set, 7 to 11 p.m. 7 p.m. to 11 p.m.
2226 East 71st Street Studio. They're going to have dinner, cash bar, 21 plus event, a dress to impress contest. Well, dress to impress, and then they're going to have a best dress contest. Yeah, so let me see. So for tickets, individuals can call 312-312-6388, 312-312-6388. Again, the area code is 312 and then 312-6388.
Okay.
So that looks like a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. Oh, now, what is it? You got Taco Tuesdays, or is that Thursday?
There is Taco Tuesdays. We're at Sip and Talk on Tuesdays. And Marva Sip and Talk with Lady Reba Soul. Generally, you know, we it's a social spot at 6357 South Cottage Grove. On the street level of the Grand Ballroom building, and Marva can get down, y'all. Marva, she can cook. So she had jerk tacos, chicken, and ground beef. Let's see. Chicken, ground beef, and the jerk, yeah, so. And she has her special mixed drinks, so... She's pretty good. The taste is awesome and good taste, but then it's not so heavy to the point where you don't get the flavor. I'm trying to remember the name of her special. She's got Marva's mix or something. Yeah, I'm new to this. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's a lot of fun on Taco Tuesdays. Karaoke, very sociable. BYB to this event, so there's no cash bar, you know, or anything like that. That'll be and Taco Tuesday.
Man, I wish I was up there for that because I like tacos. Okay, you know what? Let me find something appropriate here. I'm thinking about this $5,000 per hour. Matter of fact, we might.
The newer phones, they do have Amazon, the app already installed on the phone. I am actually looking it up right now. I'm going to certainly look at purchasing the book. I'm going to start with a sample chapter. I'm excited about that.
Well, yeah, that's what I usually do. Matter of fact, we're going to convert this week, because it's just Tuesday, for $5,000 per week. So by Friday, we're executing. We're actually doing. You know, we're making money.
This book.
You found
by
Rob Slee?
You said Kindle. You said Kindle or Audible?
It's probably on Audible as well.
Well, Audible is owned by. Amazon.
Well, I got it on my Kindle.
Let me just look that part up because I'm mixing myself up. I am one to say that hey, I Kindle is owned by Amazon. Okay.
Okay.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this week's officially $5,000 per hour week.
But I'm looking for it, right?
And you know what? That's going to be our 10th podcast. $5,000 per hour, where we concentrated not only the thinking, but the execution of it. I'm working on getting a video right now. Let's see. You found it?
You know, it's interesting. I actually pulled up. Well, I said how to make. Well, I was looking it up, and then it says how to make a few billion dollars. Brad Jacobs broke to billionaire. How to make money online with AI. Brandon Chan. How to make. That was interesting. Just see those pop up. How to make $5,000 an hour.
This is by Rob Slee. Look for. Put Rob Slee.
Oh,
F L E E. Yeah.
How to make a $5,000 per month? No, you said
no,
Rob.
This is our Slee. F L E E.
$5,000.
It might be titled under. Hold on. Let me go to what I got on the phone.
I'm just. Happen when I see something. It wasn't all the way $5,000 an hour.
Okay, it might be titled under Time.
Well,
Time Really Is Money. It could be titled Time Really Is Money. It could be titled that way. How to Work for $5,000 per Hour by Rob. But the author's name is Rob Slee.
Rob Slee. R O B.
S L E E.
S L D.
S L E E.
Oh, Rob Slee.
Yeah.
Oh, Time Really Is Money. How to Make $5,000 per Hour by Rob Slee. Yeah.
That's
oh,
it.
Yeah. Time Really Is Money. My dad always told me, time is money.
They'll let you download a sample copy for free.
So I'm on Amazon. It says no feature offers available. Let's see. Amazon. Let me see. It's a paperback 2217. I don't see any offers for.
They don't have a free feature on there.
Free. What is it called? Sample copy. Sample. Browse some sample. Some other stuff popped up. I don't know what that is. Okay. It's Time Really Is Money. Time Really Is Money. Sample chapter.
Right.
No, nothing's popping up. So it's also available on Kindle. But this is a paperback anyway, Rob Slee. Let me just Google it. Yeah, let me see if it's got something. Time Really Is Money by Rob Slee. Sample. Sample chapter. Oh, chapter summary. Let me see. Excerpt. Capacity Building Solutions has something.
Okay, they got to give you up.
Reading excerpt. Let me see. The paperback, and then the ebook is available on Kindle.
Hey, that's it. I bought the ebook.
Okay, Kindle, yeah. Excerpt. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Time Really Is Money by Rosalie. Leadership Time Management, Your Actions, Your Decisions. Chapter 1, Introduction. Okay, yeah, it does say how it breaks it down. So let's see, most business owners spend almost all of their time on less than $50 per hour activities. These activities are tactical, often clerical, and can readily bought in the marketplace. Yeah, it's an easy read too. I like how it flows.
Yeah, it's got $50 an hour.
Oh, he's got
500, 5,000.
Whoa, I might have a whole book here now. No, it's like let me see. Hourly rate, it says activities. Oh, wow. Okay, it says activities. The marketplace, this is, I skipped down. This has different excerpts from different chapters. The marketplace prices all business activities based on how much value the activity provides. So activities, under activities, it has school, administrative, and trades. Hourly rate, upwards $50 an hour, hourly rate range, okay? And then creating sustainable systems. Institutionalizing the company, 100 to 500. Creating culture, another activity. Business model and market niches or network, $500 to $5,000 an hour. And then upwards, creating or changing industries, $5,000 to $50,000. Changing the world of business, $50,000 to $5 million. Wow. Most business owners are ignorant, but strategy poor. That makes sense. Wow. Oh, this is an amazing. So, listeners,
that's why
you guys,
this week is $5,000 per hour a week, and that'll be our 10th podcast. Because I don't need a big group, but just a handful, just to get this paradigm shift thinking, because it's out there to get. We just have to think. The wealth is out there. It comes really down to our thinking, as you can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, yeah. He's literally writing like he's a psychologist, but he's... He's breaking it down. And this is actually Capacity Building Solutions Vistage. Private advisory group for CEOs, something to check out. Executives and business owners, Vistage. That's where I'm reading from. Ed. Who is Ed? Oh, Ed. I am an AI search tool developed by Ed Robinson to share his 25-plus years of coaching and consulting experience. Oh, wow. That is so cool.
So I'm looking at by Friday. I can tell you something way before Friday. I used to do... And anybody can do this, eBay auctions. And it doesn't take, we used to buy, foreclosed properties from banks and finance. Because in terms, you can, matter of fact, while I'm talking about it, like you go to eBay, and put this way, there are people on eBay that they're making over $1 million a year buying and reselling used clothes from thrift shops. So it doesn't matter what you pick, just pick something.
Okay, once more, I heard thrift shop, what else?
No, there are people and there are videos on this. Let's say you want something that's easy to get into. There are videos on YouTube of people that make 6 or 7 figures a year by reselling clothes on eBay.
Okay, or Etsy, true. I've met some dumpster divers. Well, I have a professional auctioneer. He's under the weather at the moment. Charles McGarry. He was a big name in wholesale and liquidation sales and things like that, like stores and things like that. So he actually also knew how to dumpster dive. And people actually, because, of course, you're not going to, you know, people's backyards. You are looking at stores and things like that. I would say
Pardon me? Yeah, you know, I need to do another show on that. I had a dumpster dive on here once. I got a friend of mine. She's paid her rent on occasion by dumpster diving. And for
later in his life, like the last few years, I mean, he may have done it years before, but he was pretty good at it. But he had the resale shop. He sold mattresses, headboards. Oh, no, that was Todd that did the headboards, but I know I think the items came from Charles McGarry. He had that big warehouse that was, here in Chicago, if the Chicago listeners, he had that big warehouse that is now a construction company. Right up as you enter the Skyway southbound on Stony Island off 79th Street.
Okay.
So, yeah, they used to put out, he was one of the biggest auctions. He was the place to go to for auction furniture. They put the furniture outside. He employed those who are citizens who are returning home, and they'd be able to have some work and a place to stay. He also housed some of those individuals. He had a thrift store, but it was my idea because I saw, you know, the money. I said, well, I speak Spanish. I said, you know, a lot of, you know, our Latino sisters and brothers, they're wise enough to say, hey, you know, I'm getting started here in America. Let's build. And so another man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Then let's open up in a Latino, a Spanish-speaking community. A lot of times, and I love what you shared about Dr. Umar just yesterday. I wasn't able to get on. I don't know if you were able to see me listen
to him,
but
yeah.
I do know. He's the truth. I met him actually,
yeah.
So I have an idea. As far as an idea, I'll share off the air. You know, when we talk because he speaks the truth, and you know, it just, so once again, it's the mindset. He talked about the mindset once again. You mentioned the book by Rob Flea, the mindset of, and I won't say allegedly because mind you, I'm an educator. I've passed out almost 10,000 flyers, and maybe it's not costing enough money. You know, I just want it.
Right. Well, let's see, because I got to watch my laptop here. I'm running low on juice. This is $5,000 per hour a week. So from here on out, particularly all
muted.
Yeah, I know Tuesdays and Thursdays are your good days. So, matter of fact, okay, if that's
11:21.
All right, give you an example of $5,000 per hour thinking. Now, this is just for one widget. I'm on eBay right now, and I'm on eBay. I'm looking at somebody has real estate to sell in Illinois. Okay. They've got the house listed for $5,200. All right. Now, it doesn't take that long to make an eBay listing or Etsy listing or whatever you want. But this house is, so one example of $5,000 hour per list, find something that you can retail or you can resell for whatever amount of money and put it online. Now, in this case, like I say, they got a house listed for $5,200. This is in Illinois. What part? Oh, Johnston City, Illinois. I never even heard of that place. I look up where that is. Johnston City, Illinois. Reba, ever heard of that place?
No, I haven't.
City, Illinois. All right, so by Friday, all right, Johnston City, Illinois, that's in the southern part of Illinois, in Williamson County. It has a population of 3,384 people. So, man, it looks to be a little fixer-upper. They've got three on it, and they've got an 18-day auction, which is on eBay. But the point I want to make is, all right, well, Reba, I'm glad you downloaded the sample. We'll be covering it all week, and we're going to have our 10th. Our 10th podcast will be $5,000 per hour. That's our 10th podcast. Well, we focus on how we can earn $5,000 within an hour. Because imagine if you just did that once a day. Now, you might have to put 2 or 3 hours in it to prepare for that. But, you know, you come up with $5,000 in a day, $25,000 a week, $100,000 in a month. It all comes down to the way you think. Okay, before we get out of here, let's play Umar Johnson, and we'll be right back after Umar.
And now, an exclusive first look at the upcoming documentary, 7 a.m.
Because true economic science is a branch of military science. War and money go hand in hand. Most wars are fights so people can make more money, and war is money. That means what? That the European American is not about to prepare black children to compete with his children for control of the economic sector. It's not going to happen. So if black people want this science, we got to teach it, we got to study it, and we're going to have to make some mistakes in perfecting it because we're still babies in the water of global economic commerce. As African people, we are financially illiterate. So we should not be surprised that we're so economically backward because we were never taught how to be economically forward. Our education in America has not provided or prepared us to be able to compete with Europeans economically. The historically black college was designed to do what? Teach you how to work for white people. Public schools, charter schools, parochial schools, independent schools. What is the purpose of education in America for black children right now? To teach them how to make a living working for white people. But I don't want the kids coming to my school to be going to class thinking that I'm learning this so I can go and get paid by a white person. They're going to be empowered to start their own business. When they leave that school, they're going to go into business. And why do we need our people to be self-sufficient? Because when you're not self-sufficient, you can't speak your mind. One of the biggest reasons why black people have been so cowardly in the post-civil rights movement, not standing up for ourselves, standing up for our children, standing up against police brutality, we're scared to lose our jobs. We have to work. We got kids. I can't talk about the racism on my job. I might lose it. So So the reason why we're not speaking our mind is because we don't have economic freedom. As Mr. Garvey said, Marcus Garvey said, that a solid racial program must be built on a solid economic foundation. Show me your economic condition, and I'll show you your political condition. The political economy of the black community rests on the premise that because they do not make their own money, they are enslaved to Europeans. And as a result of that, they will never be able to do what needs to be done to carve out a future for their children, because the hand that pays is also the hand that rules them.
Okay, little taste of Dr. Umar Johnson. Reba, we're going to close out early today because my laptop is running low. Not my phone, but my laptop is. So that's why I had to board it itself. Any closing comments, suggestions for today?
I want to leave you with a phrase, courtesy of RebaLaMaestra.com. That's RebaLaMaestra.com. That's my personal website for Spanish via adult classes and courses and different events, fitness, crisis counseling, so forth. The phrase is, es todo, no más. That's it, that's all. Es todo, no más.
Es todo, no más. All right,
that's
no
it, that's
more. Okay. All right, well, this
or
is $5,000 per hour.
That's it, that's all. That's my interpretation.
That's all for today.
Yeah, because although my means more, you interpret this language, yeah, so.
All right, appropriate for today, and easy to remember, es todo no más. Okay, well, this is $5,000 per hour. Reba, I was glad you were able to download the free, what, they give you a free chapter or two?
Excerpts. There are different excerpts.
Okay.
Actually, I saw several, yeah.
All right, well, I got the book, so. I mean, online
yeah.
book, so. You get everything you need. All right, on that note, everyone. Wait a minute. I forgot the out music. Everyone have a good rest of the day.
Jiffy Lube, we car about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts will check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll car for your car like we car for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.